Okay, now we get to the harmonic analysis of My Foolish Heart. Again, I chose this tune because I had trouble memorizing this in the beginning years ago because there's so many chords and it just seems to move around so much, and I could not make sense of it and I could not memorize it until I discovered the system of simplifying information. You know, memorizing tunes, especially the harmony of tunes, is a little like compression in a computer file. When someone sends you a zip file, you know, or some compressed folder, the computer has saved space, you know, and then after it gets sent to you, you decompress it, and then you can access the whole thing. But how does it do that? Now, I'm certainly not a computer expert by any stretch, but I'm gonna briefly explain how it does that because this is very relevant to how you memorize tunes. The computer sees patterns in your file, and it comes up with a labeling system. Like, for example, if it sees, you know, if there's 47 occurrences of the pattern 001001, right, then it labels that A. And so instead of, you know, a 7 or 8 digit sequence, now it's only a 1 digit sequence. And it simply says, okay, every time you see, you know, that pattern, substitute A. And then after it gets sent to you, you decompress it. It converts it back from A to that pattern that I just said. And it goes through all similar patterns that it finds. So any redundancy is taken out, and only the essential parts of the file remain intact. And then it substitutes it all back by the time you are, you know, ready to use it. The same is true for memorizing tunes. We hinted upon this a little bit in the melodic thing, but I didn't go into it in too much detail. In the melodic thing, it's ascending triads and a descending scale. That's all it is in my brain, you know, to remember. I mean, my ear helps me to know that I'm starting on the fifth of the triad, but in general, I'm like, oh yeah, My Foolish Heart, the one with the ascending triads and the descending scale, right? The same can be done for the harmonic analysis. This is a pile of chords, and we're gonna boil it down to very simple. I call them the push pins. I think this is from Michael Longo, whom I mentioned. Like, what is the bare minimum required to hang up the tune on the wall, you know, or hang, you know, store it in your brain with only the compressed version? You can fill in the rest later, but you're only remembering the very simplest essence of the tune, and this is what we're going to get into right now. Now, before we go any further, I have to explain the analysis that I've done for the harmony on this sheet that you were using before to play the melody by numbers. That is, the Roman numerals is what I'm referring to. Obviously, you have to know your harmonized scale. For the key of B flat, it would be, you know, B flat major 7 is 1, C minor 7 is 2, D minor 7 is 3, A flat major 7 is 4, F7 is 5, G minor is 6, A half diminished is 7. If you don't know that, write it out on a piece of paper. Listen to what I just said again and write it out for yourself. And then what happens in the harmonic analysis is you only indicate something that's different from how it falls in the diatonic harmonized scale. For example, when you have a four chord, I do not have to write 4 major 7 because in the harmonic scale, in the series, 4 is a major 7. It goes major, minor, minor, major, dominant, minor, half diminished, and back to major. So, right? So the one chord and the four chord, I only wrote 1 and 4 because I don't have to write anything different about those. The three chord is D minor, and I didn't have to write anything different. However, when I got to the G7 chord, that's a 6 dominant. And I wrote X. X means dominant according to this little system. This goes back to John Mehegan, Mehegan. He was the first one to, I think his book is called Rhythmic and Tonal Principles for Jazz. It's a good book. It was the first of its kind to take sort of classical notation, because classical music does use harmonic analysis in Roman numerals, but they do it a bit differently. And he was the first one to take it into jazz, and it became sort of a, and it varies from school to school. you know, this isn't like a universal way of doing it, but I'm just explaining where I got it from. It was handed to me by my teacher, Jack Wilkins. And I actually used to play with a drummer who played with John Mehegan, whose name is Roger Post. He lives in Connecticut now. Going back to this, when you have something outside the key, you have to explain what it is. And X means dominant, right? And then in the next bar, you see a 2, and then a Roman numeral 2, that is. Roman numeral 2, and then a little 2 above it. That simply means the 7th is in the bass. All right, I'm not going to go through a big thing on John Mehegan's analyses right now on why he puts a 2 there for a 7 in the bass, but that's what it means. Right, next bar, you see a Roman numeral 7, that would be A. Normally that would be half diminished, but in this case it's dominant because there's an X there. And then it says 4-3. What does that mean? It means sus to a regular dominant chord. Okay, when you do a sus chord, you raise the third of the chord up to 4. So that's kind of a lazy way of writing a sus. I should have wrote, you know, 4-7, Roman numeral 7, X, sus. You know, and then Roman numeral 7X again. But I was just lazy, so I just wrote Roman numeral X 4-3. So if you ever see that, that's what that means. Like if you saw, every once in a while I see that in a fake book, and it'll say like, you know, C7 4-3. Well, what the heck does that mean? And I just told you what it means. It means C7 sus to C7 is all it means. All right. So I know there's a lot of numbers here, but just get used to it, all right? So compare my analysis to the original changes, and you'll see that it all makes sense. So I'm not going to continue going through every single how did I come up with the Roman numerals, but at this point, shut off the recording and go through the tune and make sure you understand the harmonic analysis of each chord compared with the original chart, all right? And it'll all make perfect sense when you analyze. And then next, we're going to do the function of the chords.